Welcome everyone to episode 50. Anna, this is our episode number 50. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Oh my God. It's been a year now.
Wow. Yeah, 50 weeks of live streaming this podcast. And then, of course, we are also uploading this to our podcast. Maybe we can show that podcast banner. But this is our episode 50. And today, Anna, we are talking about nursing informatics. And this is something that's really, really captured my interest. You know, when I was about to enter graduate school, I was contemplating between doing NP or informatics, right? But I guess I did a toss coin. But I've really been so interested with informatics, and especially nowadays, because, you know, not only with medical technologies, but, you know, the EHRs are evolving, right? They're complicated. Individually, I've used different EMRs, EHRs, right? We need informaticists for that. And behind the scenes, our informaticists are doing data analysis so we can see if we're providing quality care and all that stuff. And more so, Anna, now that we have AI and large language model, I think there's really a huge opportunity for nurses to specialize in informatics, because who else would be best to, you know, improve these data science and informatics, information technology in healthcare? What other specialty would be best put in these positions but nurses, right? What do you think, Anna?
Well, you're right. At one point in my life, informatics crossed my mind. You know, mm-hmm. We always prepare for the future, right?
Correct.
And I thought about it. Like, what if the time comes that I can do or work bedside anymore? And you know, we all love computers. We love
apps. Yeah, we do. We grew up in that age where computers was starting to become mainstream and every house started having computers. You know what I mean? So I think we're that what do we call that? Millennials, right?
We are.
Yeah,
the so that's why we, millennials.
Yeah, that's why we love computers. And Anna, I mean, if you think about it, I've seen a lot of spots open for nurse informaticists, you know, chief information officers filled by nurses. And that's what I love about our profession, because we are so flexible, Anna. We don't always have to stay at bedside. A lot of nurses don't work bedside. And there are so many spots where nurses knowledge, nurses' competencies are very important, because we're not only bringing our nursing knowledge, our bedside knowledge to the specialty, but we're also bringing our critical thinking skills, our social ability, you know, because we've all learned this as nurses. So that's what I love about nursing. So many opportunities, one of that being nurse informatics, right? And we have viewers. And Janine is coming, joining us from Saudi Arabia.
Jeddah. Hello, Janine.
She said happy birthday. Thank you so much. Leia's joining us from Saudi as well. And thank you for the greeting. It was my birthday yesterday. We have a LinkedIn user joining us today, and they're joining from Houston. Romel is joining us from Bulacan, Philippines. And Stalin is joining us from Rojas, Mindoro. That's one of the islands in the Philippines. And all you other viewers, we have about 50 viewers now, and we're still warming up. So hopefully more will join us in a bit. Also, Kay, she's missing in action. All right, please tell us, guys, where you're coming from while we are warming up. And our guest speaker for today, guys, is a nurse informaticist. I will officially welcome him in a bit, but he's already in the backstage waiting for us. Sharon is watching all the way from Riyadh. April is watching from Connecticut.
Neighbor. Hi, neighbor.
Neighbor, yeah. Is it cold over there, Anna?
It is. It is actually cold. Now we are on 40s.
40s, wow. It's cold here too. It's about 75.
Yeah, right. Rub it in again.
Yeah. I'm from Houston, so subtropical weather. Maymay is joining us from Bukidnon. Wow, look at
Hi, Maymay. Sounds familiar. Her name sounds familiar.
This is your friend. the what I like about our live stream is we're able to reach so many people at once, you know, and that's one of the beauties of technology. Because, you know, before Zoom, before StreamYard, before all these live streams, before YouTube, you're constrained with you're limited to, you know, where you're at when you speak, when you do public engagements, right? If there are 500 people in the room, you're really have to travel. Yeah, if there's 500 people in the room, 100 people in the room, those are the only people that can hear you talk, especially if you're delivering high impact information. But now we can reach everyone in the world so long as they have internet connection. And that's the beauty of technology. Maurice, thank you for your greeting. Paul, thank you for your greeting. In Spanish, we call this tocayo. Not the tocayo in Filipino. Tocayo in Spanish means same name. Thank you for your greeting. Shanez is watching us from Pakistan, one of our followers. Wow. Yay. Thank you for watching Dr. Nurse Paul Show, DNP Unlocked. We have a lot of episodes already. Let's put that banner in. Guys, do me a favor. Everyone is watching. Can you guys go to your Apple Podcasts or Spotify and download DNP Unlocked? We've already done 49 episodes. Very helpful for you guys that are new here in the U.S. or want to come over here in the U.S. or even if you've been here for years, we've shared lots of information about immigrant nursing life and American dream. And this is joining us from Saudi Arabia. Jerry, thank you for your greeting. Appreciate you for following me and for greeting me. Happy birthday. My classmates from with Anna.
Hi, oh, classmate. Look at it. Rehlian, yeah. Mon Bat 7.
And there you go. I spoke for your class, right?
Yeah.
And what Dipali. Wonderful. Yeah.
First, I meant to greet you. A happy birthday.
And oh, thank you.
How were you celebrating your birthday yesterday?
My birthday was celebrated very simple this time because as we get older, we realize that the novelty of celebrating birthday in Philippines, we call it bonggang celebration, like how do you say that? Fancy celebration or something like that. It really doesn't matter. What matters is you are surrounded by family and friends. You know, my birthday this year was simple. Everybody's asking, where are you? Because they're used to me traveling somewhere when I celebrate my birthday, right? Like last year, I spent it in Europe or something like that. But I just had brunch with my partner and he was going to work. I stayed at home, cuddled with my puppies. It's like they feel that it's my birthday because they're so extra cuddly yesterday, not crazy running around, well-behaved. They want cuddles. And then I talked to my mom. You know, my mom celebrated my birthday in the Philippines with my family there. Mm-hmm. They cooked food. They had two cakes for me. My mom blew the cake for me as my representative. and then I had my cake here too in Houston. And then I called my best friends. So it was fun because I didn't work, you know, because Anna, even if, you know, sometimes I'm in clinic working. But if I'm not in the clinic working, if I'm here at home, because I have home office for, you know, Aspire RN and DNP Unlocked, I would still work. You know, I would still catch myself going to my office working several hours per day. Emails and whatever content that we're developing or planning for future shows or, you know, business stuff. But yesterday, I closed my office. I didn't do anything. I just spent time, you know, celebrating my birthday and that was it. I thought that was very personal and that was very intimate for me because I didn't, you know, work. I didn't make sure. I made sure that I wasn't thinking about anything, but I was just living in the present and enjoying the present. And sometimes we need that, especially, you know, with our type of personality. You know, we like to be busy. We like to be doing one thing. We like to think of what's the next step. But anyway, I think that's a very long speech for me. Thank you for everyone who greeted.
And you're right. As we grow older, you know, we have our own different type of celebration now. And I'm so happy that, you know, you had a great day yesterday, especially with your babies. And today is a very timely topic too, because as you know, I graduated from my master's. It will be beneficial. at some point I want to go back to school again. Thinking about informatics, because, you know, it's not gonna always I can work run around in the OR doing all of those trauma cases.
You're gonna be behind,
yeah. So I was thinking about informatics too.
And applause for you, Anna. Guys, let's round of applause for Anna for being so committed to our show. She's still at work right now. She didn't drive home. I hope your daughter has breakfast to eat while you're...
Because she has
to attend the show.
Yeah, thank you, Anna. Very important. She knows every family is our advocacy. What she says, Mom, our advocacy for help. Immigrant nurses, especially the Filipinos. And she's been part, you know, we share once in a while her life. And now, oh, I have a high school. Can you imagine?
I know, time flies.
When we arrived 9 years ago, she was only 4 year old, now 14. So if you want to know more about that, in the following month, we're going to have a topic about, you know, school, college for your girl.
Let's talk about that, like school plans and all that, childcare. Yes. I think that's a very vital information. I don't have much input, but UNK would be very good resource because, you know, it's also one of the dimensions of being an immigrant and coming to the U.S. with your kids because while you're adapting to your work, you still have family, you know, that you need to take care of and all that stuff. But Anna, I'm going to interrupt you real quick because I've seen someone pop in the backstage and I think we're ready to bring her in. One of our co-hosts is already in. But anyway, while we're setting up Kay, I'm going to start introducing our very special guest. Everybody, you guys can join us in the comment section, whether you're watching in my LinkedIn, Facebook, or YouTube. Please engage with us. Put in your questions. We have our very special guest, an expert in the field of nursing informatics. All right. Our special guest for today, this is a very brief introduction. We're going to give him time to introduce himself. It's Dr. Ian Kirit. He's an immigrant nurse here in the U.S. He's also an informatics nurse specialist with over 8 years of experience in this role. He graduated with a Doctor of Nursing Practice degree focused on leadership and innovation. He's also a certified emergency nurse with a background in acute care and emergency trauma nursing. His core competencies include clinical documentation systems, technology design and workflow, education and training, and process improvement. He's currently connected with Dartmouth Health in another hospital where he is a clinical educator for the emergency department. So we have emergency background here and informatics specialist as well. And this is, you know, like I said earlier, one of the things that we're really interested about because we're all millennials and we grew up with computer age. But in nursing per se, if you just looked at LinkedIn, Anna, there's so much demand for informatics and the pay is also good. You know, the outlook is good because information technology is ever evolving, right? But yes, let's bring in Dr. Ian to the stage. And if Kay is also ready, we can bring her in. Hi, Dr. Ian.
Hello,
hi, good morning,
Ian.
Everybody. Hello,
good
hello.
Morning.
Good morning. Hi, thank you for joining us. Now we're complete.
Good morning, Dr. Ian, too, and Anna and Paul.
Hello, hi, Anna, Paul. Yeah, wow, hi. What a privilege to be in the midst of greatness. Oh, my goodness.
we are honored by your presence, sir. And
oh, my goodness. Thank you. And first off, Paul, happy birthday. And I totally agree with you. As we age, we tend not to celebrate or even not talk about it. But to me, this is an opportune time. This is perfect that we're doing episode 50. Full disclosure, I'll be turning 50 next year. So.
Oh,
I'm old.
No, you're young.
Lots of experience. Yes, lots of experience.
Yes,
and you don't look your age.
Oh, thank you.
I was about to say,
because I might.
It must be the Filipino gene.
Yeah.
Right. But I totally appreciate you guys, what you're doing. This is really good that nurses nowadays, especially to our Kababayans, have all this knowledge and networking opportunities. And it's just so impressive. I'm always like talking to my colleagues here and I was like, oh my goodness, have you heard about Lifora? This is just the perfect platform. And almost every Filipino that I heard from the country is totally aware. Oh, I'm a member. So I was surprised when I posted something and then they reached out and say, hey, I saw your post.
Yeah.
So you are so like far and wide reaching, and what an impressive, impressive platform. So thank you guys for all you do, and how I wish back in my time when I came here, we already have this, but they just don't know what they are blessed nowadays. So
true,
all the
true.
Information, we still have to struggle in finding those, but now it's right there. So thank you. Thank you. Congratulations guys for doing this.
And that's why we that's why we have Live For. We now have about 230,000 members, and also DNP Unlocked. But it's very surprising to know that it doesn't feel real because it's virtual, right? There's no like social contact, and we are human beings and we love social contact and all that. But it becomes very real once you go out into the community and you start meeting these people, and they're like, you know what, I know you because of Live For Us, something like that. Because the other day I was orienting with my new job, and there were three people who approached me and said, oh, are you Paul from Live For Us? Because yeah, we see your posts all the time. So it becomes very real. But if you see the impact of the community that we have, we're very blessed to have Live For Us as well. And me, Anne, and Kay as admins, we're trying to be fair and, you know, put up a, you know, a good community for everybody where majority will thrive. You know, there are always these agreements, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, preserving the community spirit, even if it's virtual. And I think that's the power of technology too, information technology, right? It's a good resource for everybody.
Totally agree.
Hi, Kay.
Hi, well, just here. Trying to get back on my from my California Las Vegas trip.
I know.
I missed Houston. Yes, Dr. Ian, curate. That was it was my first time to attend like a very healthcare innovation technology conference, and nice. I'm very impressed because I want to bring this idea to the Live For Us community, like our passion to help all our immigrant nurses to give them all the resources available to them. And these conferences that we attend are very, very important. Your expertise is very important with the evolving technology of healthcare. I think each one of us has to really pay attention to changes that's going on. And I'm looking forward to attending HIMSS.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, healthcare information management, correct, right?
Conference. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
you would be so amazed at how nurses are revolutionizing healthcare. Like, did you attend a Health 2.0 at Las Vegas with Rebecca?
Correct. So I just from Health 2.0. I'm in 2024, and I passed by San Francisco. I am so honored to meet one of our pioneer technology, like the grandfather of the chips. His name is Mr. Josdado Banatao from. San Francisco, and I was like surprised when I realized like the innovation was really the innovation in computer micro on the chips that we're using right now was actually invented by a Filipino. So he sold his chips to IBM and to a lot of computers that we are using right now. They said 30% of things that are inside a PC is actually a Banatao innovation, which is a Filipino.
Wow, that's good to know. Wow.
Yeah, so we're bringing that in. So I gathered that. You know, the impressive thing about the Filipino is the education system we have, and I think we can leverage those when we get here.
And I think next for future podcasts, you can talk about nursing innovation. Because there are so many nurse scientists and informaticists that are really trending in healthcare. I'm not certain if you've heard about Paul Coyne, who is really pioneering AI. And there's another one. I'm not sure if she's a Filipina, but she developed an app for nurse well-being. I'm sure you've met her.
Charlene. Shout out Charlene. And shout out Paul. Yeah, so they're very brilliant. So. We have a lot of talented nurses, and then we want to bring that network and connections, especially with you, Dr. Kirit. So thank you.
And that's what I want to share to our immigrant community. I know we love our community a lot, and sometimes we tend to form a bubble all around, you know, oh, I'm a Filipino, I'm only going to go out with Filipino. But guys, the United States is a melting pot of culture. Don't be scared to get out of your community and network, right? Because you're going to discover so much. Attend these conferences. Learn from people who already paved the way for you. You do not have to reinvent the wheel all the time. But the road is already paved, right? You can either add more to the road or walk the road. What I'm trying to say is there's so much opportunities here. It's about time for our immigrant nursing community, who will become eventually Americans like us, you know, to have a seat in the table and to participate in the greatness of, you know, information technology, innovation, design. You don't have to work bedside all the time. You can design an app to improve something that you think is missing at the bedside, right? We got to find a problem first, of course. But yeah, attend these conferences. And like what Kay and Ian is saying is expand your network, because you'll never know, that might be your next specialty or your next career, right? All right. Well, anyway, we're going to start. Yep. We're going to start with our topic for today. Let's give about a few minutes for Dr. Ian to talk about himself and his advocacies, his job as informaticist.
Yeah, so I think you already alluded to in my bio that I gave to you. I've been a nurse for, I don't know, over 20 plus years. I migrated here in the U.S. back in 2004. I have no plans of coming over, but I think when opportunity strikes, you just have to take it. I was a politician back home, you know, the typical Sangguniang Kabataan, and then became a counselor and even served in our town. But I didn't finish my term because I ended up coming over. Incidentally, but anyways, I got here in New Hampshire, so I've been from a really tropical country to a really cold, you know, New Hampshire state. That was kind of like a big culture shock and weather change. But nonetheless, I've stayed here since then. I was hired as an ICU nurse. It was direct hire at that time. I think that we also had retrogression at that time. And I was like, no, I just have to take my time and enjoy my time in the Philippines, because you'll never know, once you leave the country, that's when you really miss the country. So I think for all of you out there who are waiting, don't get tired of waiting, because your time will come when you get here, and then you will just look back on those times that you were in the Philippines. So I worked as an ICU nurse, and then I moved into the ED after like 3 years. And while in the ED, I was introduced to information technology, and that's when it piqued my interest. And this was way back in 2007. And I was offered, like, are you interested to travel the country and help implement this system? So I was able to work it out with my manager at that time. So I worked the weekends, nights, and in the ED, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then when I get off Monday morning, I just take a quick shower and then drive to the airport and then travel all over the country and implement the system. It was MedHost at that time. It's ED information system. So I get the chance to travel all over the country and implement the system on the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And either I fly back Thursday night after my shift, or fly out early Friday morning, and then travel, drive, sleep on the plane, and then work my weekend shift. So I was single at that time, so it was so easy to do. But I get a chance to travel and see the country during the week and work the weekends. I mean, nobody can beat that. So that was a really good opportunity. And so during that time, too, I was like, okay, I'm working in information technology. I had plans of becoming a CRNA because I was working in ICU and the ED, but then, you know, information technology is like, wow, this is really an interesting field. So I ended up taking my master's in nursing informatics. And then I finished that job while doing all, I did that job, and then took my graduate as a master's in nursing informatics. But after I got done with nursing informatics, I was like, maybe I should venture into some other areas where I can really work as an informaticist. But it took a while for me to really get that job. So one of those things, as we always say, you need to really learn how to network, because, and as you're thinking about doing that, connect with the right people, get involved with your electronic health record, and be really interested in quality improvement, process improvement projects, and you're really getting your feet in the door. And then when the opportunity comes, then you're right there. What else? So I did that for, I moved to a bigger hospital, that like Dartmouth Health, Dartmouth Hitchcock here in New Hampshire. It's like the only one level one academic medical center here in the state. And then I initially worked in the ED and then became a unit supervisor and then eventually got into the door of nursing informatics. So I did that for over 8 years. And just as of late, I was like, you know what? I think I need to go back to my clinical roots. So I just accepted a job as an ED manager and an educator in one of our health system hospital. So I don't know what else you want me to talk about, Dr. Paul and everybody, but I think we can continue to just go through our discussion, which I think everybody might be interested to know more.
Hey, what an amazing story. Just like me before Ian, I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I do something else on my weekdays.
Yeah. That's what we do here in the States, right? They think that it's easy money, but we also actually are working really hard. Mm-hmm. I think just an awareness for people who are not here yet. When you're here, it's good money, but you also spend the same amount of money. So in a way, I have a family of five. Mm-hmm. So still, we struggle like everybody else. It's not all about a bed of roses here in the States. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you work hard, if you know how to budget and really, you know, think it through, it's a great life.
I don't think that if it's working hard now, we have to work smart now, right?
Yeah.
Where we're here. That's why the NP and Love is here. We teach you how to work smart, not hard. Yeah, because I worked hard too, Dr. Ian.
Yeah.
I used to be a weekender nurse for the trauma level one in New York City.
Yes.
And I said, you know, I traveled Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
You can
and then so I said, you know what? I'm still bored. Let me take up a PRN on a Thursday. Because when you're by yourself.
It's great money, but you also need to think about yourself. You know, self-care.
Right.
Correct. Self-care. Yeah. So it will burn you out if you don't stop. But our next question for Dr. Kirit. When it comes to this... for nursing, sorry, Anna, that was your question. Nurse informatics. Sorry.
Yes, okay. Well, take away my question, okay? I prepared for this.
Go ahead. You see, my glasses are not here, so I'm like, but anyway, Dr. Kirit, can you explain how nurse informatics connects with the nursing practice and why nursing informatics very important to the healthcare delivery?
Yeah, so first of all, I would like to go back to the American Nurses Association definition of nursing informatics. Initially, we thought, like, surprisingly, I was into this job 5 years, and I asked my colleagues, what do you think about nursing informatics? It's kind of like, I was like, really? Like, do you just sit in the corner and look at computers all the time? So I think that's the kind of perception. And I was like, wow, you've been a nurse for quite some time. And you still don't know much about what we do. So the ENA's definition of nursing informatics is the integration of nursing science, computer science, and information science to manage and communicate data, information, knowledge, and wisdom in nursing practice. So basically, it's a data-centric approach to patient care to enhance the clinical experience of not just the patient, but also the staff. So it's really important that if you are a nurse informaticist, that you have this solid clinical experience, because you would understand how it is to work as a nurse. Like, you understand their pain points, their challenges. So you know how it is to work in the front line. And then trying to do the documentation, like back in my time, we were still doing paper. And we know like how long it takes for us to take, you know, do the documentation. And there's a big thing now with the national initiatives about reducing documentation burden for nurses, because it's really taking them away from patient care. So that's where nursing informatics comes in. You know, you look at your workflow and understand the workload of nurses, and your goal is to enhance their efficiency. So instead of, like, one specific example, giving meds, I mean, it takes so much time when you do med pass, right? Because you have to, like, before, like, back in the Philippines, we have to look at the card and look at the patient. And, you know, with the advent of technology, we now have barcode med administration. And it used to be like the scanners in the room or the big chunky workstation on wheels. But now we have an app on the phone that it's very portable, it's very convenient. And when we do the scanning, it's right there at, you know, within easy reach. So that's one thing. And clearly, when you have a nurse sitting at the table and talking about how we improve technology for nursing efficiency, then we can really contribute because we talk from experience. And in general, nursing informatics helps, you know, improve patient care and outcomes because we can optimize how the EHR is built. So we have readily available information. Once data are being put in the system, then we need to find a way how those data can be easily managed and be retrieved so that appropriate interventions can be done, right? And of course, that follows that there will be increased patient safety because now you're documenting properly, like everything is electronic. Before, when we used to do paper, sometimes we could even understand everyone's handwriting. And it can be taken as a, like, 10 milligrams can be taken, or 1.0 milligrams can be taken as 10 milligrams. But now with electronics, it will help avoid those potential errors. So there would be easy access to patient information. There would be more accurate data. And as I've mentioned earlier, it would be a much more streamlined workflow because we looked at, you know, giving meds and we look at what are those gaps that's really, like, present. And we need to bridge those gaps, eliminate those gaps, so that it would be a much more streamlined and seamless workflow that nurses end up not being burdened or frustrated with the workflow that they end up like, oh, I need to go back. I need to get the supplies. Like, you know, let's just say inserting a Foley. And what are those gaps? Like, oh, I have to run back and forth, need to find where the Foleys are, and then, you know, once you get it, then you have to go back to the patient. So there's just, like, in any kind of simple steps, you can look at, okay, maybe we can eliminate these steps and then cut, you know, shorten the amount of time that nurses do their job. And of course, as an informaticist, we are also involved with research and quality improvement projects. When we can look at the data, like, okay, let's just say, for example, patient demographics, oh, patient lives alone, or patient is taking all of these meds, then we can say, okay, based on this data, this patient may be at risk to fall. Then what can we intervene beforehand before we get there? So knowing all those data, we can get some information, and then we already have that knowledge about, okay, we need to be proactive in preventing any potential falls for this patient, because based on the data presented, it appears that this patient is really at high risk to fall. But for you to get there, you need to have a system in place that would flag the nurse to say, oh, this patient is taking a lot of, you know, polypharmacy, like meds that can put this patient at risk. So once you have those kind of thought processes, they call that decision support within the EHR, then the nurse would be like, okay, I need to put all these fall precaution measures. So you have that knowledge. And then now you know that with this set of data, these are the things that we need to do. So those are kind of the flow for data, information, knowledge, and wisdom that is kind of those critical elements as a nurse informaticist. And again, based on that, your care is much more objective, like it's really data driven and individualized to the patient. So I'll give you time to kind of answer or ask more
questions. I know, thank you so much for Dr. Akirat for that wide explanation of what you guys do. I love working with our nurse informaticist in our hospital.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True.
I always say, you know, I'm that lazy nurse. If there's like, if there's like step 1 to 7, can you help me look for a way that I can do just step 1, 2, and 3 and still come up with the same result?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And also you have to think like same result, but you are kind of assured that all those, mm-hmm. like, that before you reach that decision, you have the right data. help you make that decision. And I'm sure most of the nurses here who are listening can really attest to like the documentation burden. I, for one, struggled with that in my early nursing career. Mm-hmm. I look back to when it was still on paper because that was so easy to do. They said electronic documentation makes our lives easier. No, it actually made it even more
harder. Many clicks.
That's like a good point, Dr. Paul, because if you can just save the nurse one click, that can multiply because the amount of patient you're doing, the amount of meds you're giving. So one click can make it like even reducing 5 minutes of your patient time. That's a lot of time.
I have this thing in the ER where, for example, I'm triage nurse or fast track, because triage and fast track will usually work together. If they're like non-acute, if, for example, they're just there for sore throat, but, you know, night shift, ER, doctors or offices are closed, you know, I have this thing where, you know, we see 30, 40 patients in fast track. It could be one or two nurses. You see them for 5 to 10 minutes, but you still need to document, which takes another 10 minutes. So it kind of multiplies because you see all these 40 patients times 10 minutes charting, 10 minutes seeing patients, 10 minutes dispoing patients. So it's really not enough time. But you know what I love about informatics is I wanted to honestly do information technology before nursing, right? But my mom said, no, it's a novelty course. It's going to fade. Eventually, you're going to have to study again because everything's going to be outdated. That was what my mom said. In short, I listened to her because she's going to be the one who's paying school, not me, right? In the Philippines, you got to follow what your parents said. They said, take nursing. I was like, okay. Well, when I came here to the States, I see these nurse informaticists coming out of offices and going into the units like ER and teaching us stuff. And I was like, hey, what do you do? I see RN in your badge. And they're like, oh, we work with IT. I was like, oh my God, I wanted to do that. But I ended up doing NP. In one of my DNP courses, we have data science and data analysis and decision science. Oh my God, my professor there was so good. It was just very difficult because lots of numbers. But what I learned and also what Ian said is you can preserve quality but also improve efficiency. That's, I think, what Kay is saying with work smarter, not harder, right? If you can do 3 clicks versus 10 clicks, but the outcome is the same or better, that's called efficiency. That's called working smarter, not harder, right? So, and I believe in that. I run my business. You know, when you're not efficient in business, you lose money. When you're not efficient when you're a nurse, everything piles up. Every nurse could attest to this, that if you're not very efficient, when you're a new nurse, you're not efficient yet because you're based on tasks, right? You got an order for patient in room one. You got an order for patient in room two. You go 1, 2, 3, 4 instead of going to 3 first because that patient has more priority than 1, which can wait, right? But as you become better in your craft as a nurse, you become more efficient. But, you know, we still do a lot of clicks and scannings and going back and forth to the supply room and finding another nurse who can help us with this or finding what specialty could help us with this. I think this is where informatics is really very important.
Right. Agree. I mean, just for example, I'm sure everybody's familiar, like sepsis. Way back, it took us a while to recognize that the patient is deteriorating or at risk of crashing. Yep. But now, the minute you put in the vital signs, because of the system, the way it's built, we already have the information that, put in my heart rate, put in my blood pressure, RR. Oh, this meets the criteria. Automatically say, this patient needs to be in a sepsis alert.
So in triage, it's a big screen. Sepsis bundle, do you want to activate or something? So that makes it efficient for everybody as well.
Well, look for Ian. I work in the OR, and I'm sorry to say that when I arrived 9 years ago, I don't know anything about nursing informatics. And I am one of those nurses. Oh, wait, talk about computers, right? That's all they do. But now I know everything about some of it. And like what Kay said, you know, from step one to step seven, like when we were in the OR, there's so many implants. Imagine if I'm studying the Philippines, say, we're going to write all of those reference number, that number, expiration. Now in one place, I can put 12 implants in my trauma patient. So thank you for all the nursing informatics. You helped me a lot. Yes, and yeah. Remember during our Philippines day, the medal party, that you really have to write your diary, recitation, reading,
narrative charting, essay format.
And the problem with, like, we used to do like paper charting, and if you want to retrieve data, you have to read through all those notes and go through like the medical record with all these filing cabinets. Okay, letter H, letter I, I have to find it. What's the number under H? So it's data archiving is crazy.
When I was a young nurse, back when I was 21, this is why I wanted ER, because I started med search and it felt like I was doing good until I got this patient with this big chart. The doctor's like, what was the medicine given last week? Because we need to change the dose. Yeah. I was like, okay, wait, hold on.
Yeah,
I don't know which part of the book I'm reading. I got traumatized with that.
Right. I work in the ED, and then when a patient comes in, the doctor will say, I need to get this patient's old record. I have to get the key, go downstairs, go to medical records, find the patient's record, and bring it back. And then you have to scour through all those data. Like, oh, this was last visit, and this patient actually has this condition. So see the amount of time you save, because the information is right there. It's readily available. It's right in your face. So that's one best advantage about informatics.
Correct. Right. So, and here is my question for Ian. So, you mentioned some of the nursing responsibility working as informatics, but I would like to ask Dr. Ian, how does a nurse informatics collaborate with other healthcare and other professionals?
Wonderful. Great question. And nurse informatics are usually involved with quality and safety people. Like, when there's an event that happens, they would say, why did the nurse miss this? There's an event that happened, like a near miss or an actual miss. So they would look into that whole process, whole event, and they would get the nurse informaticist involved, because with your clinical experience and then your knowledge of technology, then you can say, okay, the nurse did this on that clinical side, but then it fails to be recognized on this area here. So is it a system issue? Is it a user issue? Or is this just a process issue? So that's when your knowledge and experience really comes into play. So you work with quality and safety, you work with nursing leaders, you work with the individual nurse, and of course you work with the build team. And then if you find out that it's a system issue, then you would say, you know what? We need to change this trigger. We need to change this best practice alert, because unfortunately it flagged the nurse when it was already like close to being accomplished. So we need to move it a little bit sooner. In that way, the nurse has enough time to prepare before it reaches the patient. So you work with all like rehab, lab, like if you're thinking about doing an early mobility program. So you would need to create a flow sheet for that. You would need to kind of build all those criteria, critical elements that would merit the patient need to be like an early mobilization intervention. You also work with nutritionists, because we'd say, okay, you know what? How best can we address like malnutrition? If the patient, when we ask those malnutrition screening, it says, you know, what are the kind of food you eat? How often do you eat? Do you have like those moments when you don't feel like you have to eat? So once those data are placed, then you create a trigger like, oh, you know what? We need to trigger this because this is a malnutrition risk. The score is way down or way high. Then it sends a message to the nutritionist to kind of go to the patient and talk to the patient so that they can come up with a plan on how to address the patient's nutrition status. And we also work with rehab, as I mentioned. In that way, we can prevent falls. We can do passive exercise. We can maybe do one assist, two assist, or have this progression of mobility for the patient so that we can avoid any untoward consequences. And of course, we also work with providers, because sometimes, you know, if you're just barking verbal orders, you know, that's not safe. So how can we avoid that? So maybe we can come up with a flow and a system where, okay, when I put this in, it will send you a flag that makes sure that it's right. Or we can also work with pharmacy. In that way, we are giving the right dose. They have like this checks and balances sort of. So we work with different stakeholders, different leaders across interdisciplines.
Right. Over. So That's good. That's so working behind the scenes. We don't always see the informaticists, but imagine your charts if it's not nurse centric. You know what I mean? Because right now I'm provider, right? So I was doing Epic training. I'm still doing it. But this time as a provider, they always ask me, have you used Epic before? I was like, yes. But that was the nurse, like front end for nurses. It's different with providers because we do SOAP charting and sending meds and all that. But imagine, I could now imagine myself, because there's two versions of Epic that I used, right? If the Epic that I used before was not nurse-centric or was not focused on me, but focused more on patient-oriented, it would be very difficult, right? Because it has to be nurse-centric or centered around the nurse. That way, it can improve my efficiency when I chart. If I have a patient crashing in front of me, which is not unusual in the ER, EN, right? I have to be able to chart that real time, right? Yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to forget something, right? But if I could not find that in the chart, well, now you see ER nurses writing on the bed sheets, on the gloves, on the tissue paper, and not probably only ER, everybody else. Because they could not find it in the chart.
That's a good segue, Dr. Paul, because in our ED the other day, we had a code patient. We get a patch to say a patient is unconscious on CPR. We need to do this and that. And with the advent of telehealth, we now have tele-ED in our ED. So even before that patient came in, we already dialed the tele-ED, which is housed by from our main hospital. So there's a provider there, there's a nurse there. So when that patient came in, all we have to worry about is take care of this patient. We already have a plan. This is what we're going to do. This patient is unconscious for like 5 minutes, ongoing CPR. These are the meds that was given. This is what we're going to do. And then they hone in. We turn on the screen, and then there's a nurse and a provider on that screen that say, okay, it's been 3 minutes. You need to give epi. Okay, what do you think about doing an ultrasound to the heart to kind of detect movement? So there's this collaboration. And then you don't have to worry about, oh, my God, what did we give? Okay, can you put in the time you were given? Because you have to worry about your documentation afterwards. This time, all you have to do is focus on the patient, and then documentation is done by the tele-ED nurse. And then they just have, and we're using the same system, Epic. So everything is right there. After we're done with the code, all right, no more worries about spending 30 minutes to an hour documenting.
Right, so exactly. Because I always say the codes may run 15 to 30 minutes, but the amount of charting that you have to do and paperwork, especially if you're a charge nurse, lots and lots of paperwork. But I mean, that makes me interested to go back to the ER, you know. Dr. Ian, quick question. If I want to be an informaticist, for example, or for our followers who are listening or watching or who's going to listen to the podcast, what are the educational requirements and certifications that are needed to become an informatics nurse?
Yeah, so an informatics nurse, I mean, it's good if you have that advanced degrees in informatics, because you can really understand, you know, there are some policies involved, like healthcare policies that would affect practice. You also would understand organizational structures. So you would also understand, you know, like social determinants of health. So those kind of things, that you can learn that from, you know, advanced degrees. And of course, how technology is affecting practice. That's very important. But at the same time, bachelor's degree is enough. You can always opt to get certification in informatics without getting an advanced degree. Some employers will just say, oh, you're certified in informatics. So that's a good thing. But you also look at your experience. If you work with a vendor, if you've worked with any kind of HR, Cerner, Meditech, all of those things, that would come into play, because experience carry a big weight as well on top of education. But let's just say there's two applicants. There's one with 10 years of experience in EMR and only has a bachelor's degree, and you have a DNP in informatics or master's, and yet you only have 1 year of clinical experience in informatics. They would go for this one with a heavier experience, because that would matter more in the workplace. And then the other thing is increasing your amount of knowledge. That's what Kay was mentioning. Be involved with all of these conferences. LinkedIn has a lot of webinars that talks about AI, about anything informatics. join in ANIA or HIMSS or CPIMS. So those kind of organizations really offer a lot of educational opportunities that can enhance your knowledge of informatics. And also, while you're working clinically or in the front line, get involved with process improvement projects. Be a questioning mind with the HR, like, you know what, we can really make this flow sheet better. You know what, we can really eliminate these steps. And if there are process improvement projects, volunteer and be part of that. A super user in your hospital, that's really a good thing to be involved with and to network with the right people if you're really aiming to get to that path. So a bachelor's degree is important, or at least at a minimum, and then arm yourself with all the knowledge, attending webinars, be a part of all those organizations. And if you have the capacity, go for an advanced degree.
That's great information, Dr. Ian. Yeah. And what I love about our career as a nurse, we can always go back to bedside. If we got more brilliant computers, you can be an educator, you can be working a bedside and do informatics. So we are truly blessed. Nurses from the Philippines, because our education is 4-year course, bachelor, and we do not owe our student loan alike from the students who were born here in the US, right? So, yay, Philippines!
Yeah, and the thing that's really fulfilling, nursing informatics, it might be, like, you know, we're out of time, but just for the information of everybody, it's a really emerging field. Like, there are, if there's a CNO, there's a CNIO, is the chief nursing informatics officer, and big hospitals have that because you need to have somebody on the executive suite, like a nurse sitting at the table with good grasp of nursing and information technology. You know, you don't let doctors or anybody else dictating your practice. You need to have a nurse voice on the table making decisions for nurses. So really, you think of nursing informatics as not just computers, but really have a solid clinical experience, still out there working with end users. Like, you know what? I still go to the ED all the time. Like, you know, still in touch with the end users. I'm not totally detached from the clinical side, because how can you offer them solutions if you don't really understand their problems to begin with? So yeah, I think you really have to connect those two.
I think that's a good call to action for our nurse leaders. You know, sometimes nurses feel like our leaders are disconnected from the clinic bedside because of all the policies. But, you know, the leaders that I love the most, Ian, especially with my job as an ER nurse before, are the leaders that I see in bedside with me. They don't have to be there all the time, but at least I know that they're collaborating with me and seeing how I work or us work. That way, you know, they also know how to improve things or not to change things that work, something like that. Because you don't always have to reinvent the wheel.
Right. And I think that's one thing that the nursing structure needs to kind of embrace. Like, if you're a nursing leader, there has to be like once or twice a day, a month that you have to work as a frontliner.
Yes.
Because if you've been like a leader making decisions and you haven't even touched a patient for 5 years, I think that's going to be a gap. That's going to be a problem. Like, look at doctors. They are medical directors, but they are having 24-hour shift. Yes. Right.
That, we that need is to correct.
Embrace that in the nursing profession. Like, leaders should be in practice.
There's a great exit. After the pandemic, there's a great exodus for nurses to all leave bedside. But, you know, even if you move to other specialties, you still have to be, like, really active with the clinical practice. Like, with me, with NPs, I have a lot of vision for my trajectory. But like I said to Anna and Kay, I'm still a baby nurse practitioner. I only have barely less than 2 years experience. So I still need to stay longer in my role in order to be in the future, pursue, like, leadership or you know, innovative roles in NPs, because how would I be able to contribute to the practice if I don't have a good grasp of the clinical side, right? But yeah, Kay and Anna?
Yeah, so very important that you mentioned, like, we have to really take hold of our profession. We really need to be on the place where development and planning of products that are used by nurses to be really having the presence and touch of a nurse. And it was my honor, actually, to meet a lot of those during the health conference in Las Vegas last week. So Microsoft Chief Nurse Informatics, or Chief Nurse Innovator, is Kathleen McGraw. She's a nurse, but she works for Microsoft. Dell, if everybody knows Dell Technologies, right? A computer. The Chief Nurse Informatics is a Filipino nurse. Right, so you know, Romina, shout out to you if you're watching this. So there are so many opportunities out there, and nurses, we really have to take control. Our healthcare system is evolving into a healthcare IT technology heavy, and I think we really need to bridge that gap between who's developing those products and who's using it, because right. I don't think Apple became very successful if they did not pay attention to consumers. And like I said, it's like Netflix. Netflix listened to their consumers. But some company called Blockbuster, they tried to stay where they were. They didn't adapt to the change. And what happens to that, right? We all know what happened to Blockbuster.
Yes. And it's a great thing you mentioned that, Kay, because that's actually like part of design thinking. Like, you listen to the voice of the customer, because sometimes you think it's what they want, but it's not exactly what they need. So I think as an innovator, you have to think along that mindset. Like, I want to flag to everyone here across the country, across the world, if you are really interested in innovation and design thinking, Johnson & Johnson is doing Nurse Hackathon, and they are inviting almost everybody across the world. And it's such a great experience when you try to pitch in a data, an innovation. And if you win, you might find grants for those. That's how Charlie started with the wellness app. So join in, search it up, Nurse Hackathon, such a big weekend event.
Yeah, we did sign up
for next year.
But I tried to keep my mouth quiet, Dr. Curit, before I patent it first.
We should create a Filipino innovators team and join the hackathon.
Absolutely, definitely. We're gonna make sure my exposure to the health last week, and I said nurses, Filipino nurses are very prevalent in healthcare. And when I went there, a lot of these IT companies, they were asking, we're actually looking for nurses. And the health conference is not a lot of frontline nurses. So I think there should be a representative, especially for Filipino nurses. We have experience all over the world. And I think the collaborative work of our minds will create something very, very fruitful. But last words, Dr. Curit, advice for our nurses out there thinking if they should go for informatics, or they're hesitant, or they don't know what to do after.
Yeah, so if you are really interested in becoming a nurse informaticist, I mean, nursing informatics dates back to the Nightingale era, right? I mean, you remember Florence Nightingale. That's how she made waves, because she looks at those patients, why are they getting sick? Well, lo and behold, because look at that. They're dirty linens. The environment is dirty. So how should we intervene? That's nursing informatics. You look at data. So if you really want to venture into that, enjoy your time as a frontline nurse. Be involved. Be a super user. Participate in quality improvement projects. Have that questioning mind and network. Ask who your nurse informaticists are. Join them, like, hey, what do you think about this? Ask questions, and they would say, oh, you know what? He was really interested. She was really interested. Why don't we bring her in and kind of pick his or her brain about this project, about this change that I'm about to do on the system? So do that. Be a super user, participate in quality improvement projects, and enjoy your time as a clinical nurse, because that's when you gain the experience, you work with them, you understand their struggles, you understand their like frustrations. You always hear like, why do they do this? Why did they put this here? So those kind of things you can glean from working alongside them. Because being a nurse who's been there and done that, you can relate and talk their language. And the minute you go in and say, hey, how can I help you? If they know that you're a nurse, they would like up to stay still and listen. Because if they were talking to someone who is not even a nurse, then it was like, what are you talking about? You don't even know what we do, you know? So it's always nice to have that solid clinical experience, maybe 3 to 5 years of working at the bedside, working at the front line. And during those times, be involved with the projects, quality improvement, become a super user, familiarize yourself with the EHR, join all those organizations. YouTube University is a good thing. Type in nursing informatics. There's a million videos about it. And LinkedIn has a lot of free webinars. Coursera too is great. Like if you just look, there's a guy in LinkedIn that says top 20 free videos from all of these great institutions, Yale, Harvard. They offer a lot of free webinars and courses. And get certified if you have to. What else? And if you have the capacity, again, enroll in a certification class or go for an advanced degree and be certified, because having that certification attests to the fact that you are really a master of your craft and you know your thing. But enjoy the journey and know your steps. That's one thing that I didn't know. Like, even up to now, I still don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. But I think the best thing about millennials is they are very structured. They were like, 3 years, I'm this role. On the fourth year, I'm going to be doing this. And that's what's so impressive about all of you guys, because you're not wasting 20 years, productive years. Like, if only I know what I want to be when I was like in my 30s, just imagine from 30 to 50, what I would be doing. Like, work would be a pleasure, right? So that's one thing that I would advise. Know what you want. If you're really passionate about nursing informatics or whatever field, research about it, network with the right professional, because there, the Filipino community, we are so willing to give, because paying it forward can make a big difference, especially as we're nearing like retirement age. We want to continue that legacy. And thank you, Dr. Paul, and all of you guys for featuring me in that LIFOR community. There's so many people who reach out, and I was like so happy that I was able to give back. But it's a very lucrative field with AI coming into play. It's just going to be like upward, uphill from here on. So go for it, have the passion for it, and we are here to support you in your journey.
And Ian, may I also add, surround yourself with friends like Kay and all, people will support you. You know, we'll it's not all about networking. Like the three of us, you mentioned, our mind, we have a plan for 3 years and 5 years already. Aside from, we are all both millennials, and we have, we share this passion and advocacy for giving back like you. And thank you so much, Dr. Ian, for a great information.
And again, for anyone out there who wants to know more about where to go to school, all these organizations, or any just tips of advice, you know my contact number, you can find me. Feel free to reach out. I am more than happy to help and really give you time, because we need more informaticists, Filipino informaticists.
There's a question with Anton Alaban. Can we have information-rated advanced degrees in nurse informatics, right? So again, Dr. Ian said that you can message him. Dr. Ian, thank you for accepting my invite in LinkedIn. And I am new also in LinkedIn, everyone. Last year, I joined it because I was trying to see answers. Like, you know, us, your admins in LIFORA, we don't have all the answers for you. But we can certainly see what we can do to help you, and probably look for answers for you. We're not experts, but Dr. Ian is our expert. We will have experts for you to bring into LIFORA, and you know, that's our role as mentors. We don't know everything, but we can grab people who are experts in this and then connect you with them.
Yes.
Correct. Just watch out, Dr. Ian. Watch out your message request in Facebook.
It's gonna blow up.
You might want to spend like the whole weekend, like block off your weekend, just to respond to it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Always willing to help.
Okay. And it's also one more thing. I cannot make this day go away. I mean, this conversation without saying, like you said, you want to be the super user. Put it in, like, your Superman behind you.
Yes.
Yes. I want to mention
Superman. I said if I have problems in my nursing workflow, I will call nurse informatics because they are very, very great. They're like Superman. They just come in here and they go straight. What is the problem? How can I help you? And they're a great, great addition to the healthcare system. Yeah, thank you for all the nurse informatics out there making our life for bedside nurses.
Salute to the nursing informaticists.
Yeah, so Paul, Anna?
Well, when I feel I'm always grateful that I thought it made my life better. Working in a trauma, level one trauma, level two trauma with all those implants. I mean, I can do it later. I can find air patient now and I won't have to spend an hour, you know, diarying. Putting the journal what happened to the patient. Thank you so much. And yes, expect more many messages from the REM. You're going
to
get a lot.
And I think my main message, hopefully after this discussion, now they have a different outlook of what nurse informaticists are. And give them like at least a good overview of what we do. And we just don't sit in the corner and look at computers all day long.
Right.
Yeah. How about you, Paul?
Yeah. So for me, nurses, informatics is one of the emerging specialty like we talked about earlier. And if you are tech savvy, data driven, you like to look at data and analyze them, you don't have to be a full-on researcher, right? But you can just process data that's already out there. There's so many, right? The healthcare is evolving. If you like tinkering on your settings with Epic or your Wi-Fi settings, if you feel like you're so connected to the informatics world, maybe this is a specialty for you. There's a lot of career opportunities. There's a lot of growth opportunities with this career. You can approach Dr. Ian. You can also look up YouTube and Coursera courses. If this is something for you, well, connect yourself with mentors like Dr. Ian or people who already paved the way. But this is a very good opportunity. I'm interested myself. But that's it. And you guys, thank you. Let's all thank Dr. Ian for being with us and sharing his craft and expertise, all right, to our community. We appreciate you, Dr. Ian. Thank you so much. We hope we can bring you in next time again for certain things. You are now our informatics expert in our community.
True, yeah.
Thank you. And I'm still learning too. So we all learn from each other.
Right.
One more thing, just a quick second. If you plan to go for master's advanced education and you're single, have high taxes, 529 plan, all right, guys?
There you go, yes, plan. Absolutely.
Please look at that, research
your 529 plan. Another plug. Connect with your employer. Look at any scholarship.
Employer benefits.
Spend
as
much money as you can. Mm-hmm. Yes. Know your options first before you even shell out your own.
Okay. Right. Especially if you work with union.
So 529 employee benefits or employer benefits. But if you're a business owner, that's also a tax write-off if it's connected to your business.
Yes.
Thank you, America, for business deduction for all the conferences. Thank you very much. Thank you for all the single people paying our Medicare and Medicaid.
That's me.
So anyway, enjoy.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Have a great day, everyone.
Anyway, thank you guys. Bye. We'll see you next week for another episode of DMP Unlocked. Thank you guys. Appreciate you. Bye.
Bye, everyone.